You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What the world looks for is light. What the world often gets is heat, or even worse, darkness.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Send out the light of your grace and forgiveness upon us. Let the sunshine of your favor smile upon us. And give us joy with faith in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, to create new life within us. Sustain us in the darkness with your light and your life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What the world looks for is light. What the world often gets is heat, or even worse, darkness. Heat often accompanies light, but it is not light. Darkness often follows the light, but it is not light. The light shines, and the day comes. The light goes out, and it is night. To be in the dark when you want to be in the light is no fun at all. Some patients in the hospital say they wish their doctors would give them some news, even bad news, because then at least they'd know something. To have symptoms one cannot explain, for which there seems to be no reason at all, leaves people, as we say, in the dark. When even the doctor appears to be in the dark, patients really feel in the dark. A world which is sick with apprehension, sick and tired of its feeling of guilt, sick unto death with the premonition of judgment, needs one thing more than anything else. Our world needs light. If there is no light, there can be no life. The very first thing Jesus did at the very beginning of his ministry to the world was the proclamation of light. This was done, said the evangelist Matthew, so that the prophecy of Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, along the way of the sea, across the river Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people sitting in darkness have seen a great light. And for those sitting in the land and in the shadow of death, the light has shined upon them. Matthew goes on to say, from that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawing near. It is both the prophecy and the proclamation of action by God. It is action by God in this world. It is God doing his thing in the world. It is light in the midst of darkness and life in the midst of death. What is the action of God? What is the light? And what is the life? What is the kingdom of God? Bringing light in the kingdom of darkness. St. Matthew says, and the Gospels always said ever since that time, it is simply and plainly Jesus Christ. He came, he told, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here. The need for light overrides every fear of what the darkness might be hiding and what the light might disclose. Some darkness is only puzzling, like when you can't think of the person's name who just waved at you. Other darkness, like not knowing what really is troubling you, leaves you wondering about the meaning of the symptoms. It can be tormenting when the puzzle is solved and the meaning becomes clear, when things become definite, even in the case of illness or injury. At least you know what can be done and what cannot be done. At that point, at least, you can prepare yourself for what has to be done. The greatest torment in the whole world is to know that God is there and not know either what can be done or what cannot be done. The greatest torment of all is to know that God is there and not know how he feels or what he will do. Someone commented that he preferred knowing for sure that there was no God than to have to spend his whole life wondering and worrying about it. If I knew for sure, he said, that there is no God, then I'd know that life is senseless, aimless, and meaningless. It is what some people would like to think, but they cannot be sure. In fact, everyone knows that there is a God, and can be sure of one thing. When you do not know who God is and how he feels, what he's willing to do, everything is darkness. In a world where people do not know how they stand with God or how God stands toward them, everything is darkness. That explains why, in a world like ours, we see people running everywhere to all kinds of superstition and even to horoscopes for light. Walking along the streets of Hong Kong a few months ago, I saw one group after the other watching a man reading palms by candlelight in the evening, telling people what the future might bring for them. In the same way, people in Hong Kong search the pages of the newspapers for news on the financial front, hoping they can find something which will tell them how the future is going to be for them. Hong Kong, apparently, is no different from the rest of the world. It is what people are doing everywhere. They're looking for light in the midst of darkness. They want to know how things will be and also how things are with them. Into this world of darkness, searching for light, says the gospel, the light has shined. It has come, and it is coming all the time. It is the light of God who first said, let there be light. The people of Zebulun and Naphtali were not irreligious people, as people go. But they needed light as much as anybody else. There's a lot of religion around in the world. But what people need is light. That comes from God, or it does not come at all. Into our skeptical world, in which darkness has all but overcome the light, God has done his thing. Into that world he sent his own Son, Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He's all light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is the brightness of God's presence and the splendor of his glory, the very image of God himself. In him resides all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is born, he lives, and he dies. In all of that, the light of God shines upon a darkened world, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you want to know how you stand with God and how he stands toward you? Just look at Jesus Christ. He is the light of God and the light of the world. There you see the glory of God in all its splendor and the grace of God with all its understanding and acceptance of the plight of your humanity. There you see the light of God shining in a dark place. When Jesus Christ came, his very first word called attention to the darkness which needs to be dispelled. Repent, he said. If you're going to live with God and with yourself, the very first step is repentance. It is a hard word and hard to take. The light ferrets out the dark corners of life. The light of the world is bright enough to disclose the dark spots of your life. They are there, I know, and you know it too. You may have been telling yourself all kinds of things. You are as good as anybody else. You are not as bad as others try to make you out to be. You are trying your best, and a lot of other things by which people try to justify themselves. You can keep that up in the darkness, if you want to stay in the darkness. But the light of God has come, and it shines brightly enough to disclose all of that justification, that self-justification, for what it is. It doesn't make very much difference whether you're religious or irreligious. The light shines brightly enough to open up that shriveled little life of yours and to show it up for what it is. All that self-justification is a bunch of horse feathers. And a lot of that secular or religious piety with which you may have surrounded yourself is pure piffle. There are those things in your own life of which you cannot be proud. There are others which make you genuinely ashamed. Admit it to yourself and to God. The moment you begin to admit it to God, you're doing what Jesus said. The moment he began to preach and to teach, Jesus said, repent. The day has come. And the night is departing. The day has come with the light of God. And the night is departing. The darkness that tried but failed to conceal. The light is the good news of the gospel, which is in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. If we conceal our sins, said St. John, the truth is not in us. We are made out to be liars and deceivers in the sight of God himself. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then it is that the light has shined into our hearts. We know that the Son of God has come to be a substitutionary sacrifice, a propitiation to God himself, and an atonement for all of our sins, so that we may be cleansed of all that and live in light and righteousness. It is the good news of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali toward the way of the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the nations, the people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. And unto those sitting in the land and in the shadow of death, a light has shined right upon them. It has shined, and it is shining more brightly today than ever before. A friend of mine has a son who's been studying physics and astronomy in college. My friend asked his son, what is light? The son said, light is a class of electromagnetic radiations occupying the wavelength range of about 3,900 angstroms to 7,200 angstroms. That is called the visible spectrum. Now all of you know what light is. By the way, that's only the light that you can see with your eyes. There's other light with other wavelengths, like X-rays, that are too short for us to see. There are still other wavelengths that are too long for us to see. Some of them are radio waves. The land of light to which our eyes are sensitive, the familiar colors, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet, are but a small sliver of the entire electromagnetic spectrum. With present knowledge, since we shall probably know a great deal more about this in years to come, the wavelengths of light to which our eyes are sensitive are not just 1/1,000,000,000 of the whole. That is 1,000 millions, or 1 followed by 9 zeros. Nor is it 1/1,000,000,000 of the whole, 1 followed by 12 zeros. It is more like 1 followed by 22 zeros. That's what we see of all the light there is in the world. What you see of God, even in Jesus Christ, is like the light you see in the rest of the world. In Christ you see the grace and the glory of God. But you're going to see a lot more as you go and grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. You don't know everything the moment you meet Jesus Christ, but one thing you can know. You can know that God loves you, that God cares for you, and God forgives you. He does that for the sake of Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power by that resurrection from the dead. One day, you're going to see a lot more of the grace and glory of God than you can ever believe. You're going to see more of the wisdom and power of God than you ever thought possible. You're going to be amazed at how great God is, and also how wonderful he is. Right now, it is important that you see the light that God has sent into the world in his Son, Jesus Christ. That light has shined and is shining. When Jesus began to preach and to teach, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven is here." That happened in Jesus Christ. And it is happening in Jesus Christ all the time. It is happening to people who see the light as they come to faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins and accepting the forgiveness of God that he freely gives for the sake of Jesus Christ. That's life, and that's light. One day a friend of mine asked a young man, "What do you think will happen to you when you die?" His answer was, "Well, I expect to suffer for a while in hell for the wrongs I have done, and after that, God will take me to heaven." There are a lot of ideas like that floating around. Where they come from, I don't know. They're not logical, and they certainly are not theological. They are nothing but the dreams of darkness. The light has come. The kingdom of heaven is here. Jesus Christ is born, and Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, right within our own history. He carried our nature, our human nature, in victory over death. And he calls the whole world to believe in him. This is the gospel of God. The light shining in a dark place. While darkness rages in an ocean of doubt, you can see and be sure the light shines. What must you do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Jesus told religious people in his time and irreligious people as well, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall have the light of life and will never walk in darkness. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free." "I've come into the world as light," said Jesus Christ. "I came not to judge the world, but to save it." Like death and taxes, I suppose, there will always be darkness. The good news is that the light has shined on people who sit in the land and in the shadow of death. It shines upon you, my friend, at this moment. Hide not away. Come out into the light and live. It is the light of God, the light of the kingdom of heaven, which is in the person of Jesus Christ, and he is here. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. All light and life is here in Jesus Christ. Take the forgiveness of God and the life of love, which are gifts of God through faith in the Son of God, even Jesus Christ. Coming out into the light, one hymn writer said of him, "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. It makes the wounded spirit whole and calms the troubled breast. It is manna to the hungry soul, and to the weary, rest." Amen.